Your neighbor Jim figured out that with Metro PCS, he gets unlimited data, talk, and text for $30, period.
Babe, that color looks awesome.
Just like he figured out that shopping with his wife will buy him a night with his buddies. That's guys' night out figured out. You too figure it out. Switch to Metro PCS on the fast 4G LTE T-Mobile network for only $30, period. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Plan includes first 1 gigabyte of data at up to 4G LTE speeds. See store or metropcs.com for details and terms and conditions and data management info.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and well, we've got a lot of uncertainties going on in the world. I keep saying that, but it gets truer and truer by the day. If you wanted to think you could get away, well, maybe you could have. I doubt it. I don't think any place in the world is really safe. The person you're about to hear from, well, Jim Mosquera, wrote a book called Escaping Oz. We talked with him about it last year. He's got a new book coming out. Jim, your new book, 2020, and we're going to talk about that. Welcome back, Jim.
Hey, Kerry. Thanks a lot for having me again.
So tell us about 2020 and how it relates to your prior title, Escaping Oz.
Well, you know, one of the, or maybe I would say the kind of the seminal theme of Escaping Oz, Navigating the Crisis, was the intersection of what I call politics and economics. So, you know, we've kind of created a financial condition in this country, or really in many countries in the world, and won't get into all those details. But at one point, obviously, the politics and economics will collide because the economics can't continue in the same direction. And so politicians will try to either to continue to support that direction, you know, to pander to the public, or someone may come and you know, try to thwart that path. So one of the things I decided to do in the last year was I wanted to write a novel. So I want to make sure that's clear to your listeners that what I'm about to talk about now is fictional. But I thought about trying to create something where I'll call it the genre of realistic fiction, where you have real places, real institutions. So when you read the book, you're not going to be going off to some mystical land. You'll be in, you know, New York City, Washington, D.C., and other cities. There will be real institutions that the reader's going to deal with, like the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve. All the characters are fictional. There are references to historical events that occurred in the past. And so what I do is I take a journalist, and I place him in a situation where he's in the year 2019. So that's another important facet of the book, is that it's in the future, but it's not so far in the future to where it stretches the imagination, where somebody says, well, I don't know if that's going to be occurring and so forth. So it's something that's really, call it one election cycle ahead of where we are right now. And so the kind of the underlying theme of the book is that the U.S. experiences a financial and terror crisis, and then as it wrestles with the presidential election of 2020.
Uh-huh. So it's not too far out there, not what you would call science fiction. It's based on highly likely probabilities.
You know, and I had an interview with another gentleman a couple of weeks ago, and he said that oftentimes people that write these sort of fictional accounts, these realistic fictional accounts, somehow tend to be somewhat prophetic. Well, I will tell you that when I wrote the guts of this book, which was last fall and in early winter, one of the things I talked about in the book, retrospectively looking back, so I'm in the year 2019, 2020, looking back, I talked about a brokered GOP convention. And some of the things that emerge from that brokered GOP convention is an important theme, in the fictional book, which is the existence of what I'll call freestanding third parties. And what I mean by freestanding third parties are, you know, not like what you saw in 1992 with Ross Perot, where he's a GOP candidate and then he splits off and then runs an independent and, you know, obviously did quite well, or a John Anderson, you know, maybe before that I believe it was in 1980. So what I'm talking about are parties that are freestanding. They have support. They're going to continue forward, and they won't initially challenge the GOP and the Democratic Party. But again, they'll build over the course of time. And there's two parties that, again, fictional parties that I created in this book that will challenge for the 2020 election. I won't reveal actually what happened, but they feature very prominently in the book.
Well, right now, Jim, it looks like the parties are doing their best to implode, doesn't it?
Well, and it's interesting, Carrie, but in I'll give myself some credit. When I wrote my first Escaping Oz book in, say, late 2020, 2011, one of the things I talked about, and I just dedicated maybe a couple of pages to it, was that there was a current, an undercurrent of anger already, and it manifested as a in a political sense when you saw the Tea Party come into play. And one of the things I said in the book was that the Tea Party wouldn't necessarily create, one of these freestanding parties that really, let's call them a wing of the GOP, but that that undercurrent was still there and that that undercurrent would grow over the course of time. And if readers go to my site where I'm featuring the 2020 book now, they'll see an interview with myself. And one of the things I talk about there is that you see three candidates that ran for president this year with Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, and Dr. Carson, that all three have what I'll call these facets about them that are really third party-like. Donald Trump obviously doesn't fit the traditional Republican mold. Otherwise, the GOP wouldn't be trying to, you know, mount a steady campaign to get rid of him.
So Dr. it appears.
Dr. Carson, I thought, ran a very unique campaign, wasn't as successful. And then Bernie, you know, he's technically, I mean, I guess recently he registered as a Democrat, but he was an independent candidate, right? And think about how popular all three of those. I mean, Dr. Carson was the presumptive leader very, very early in the race. Obviously, Donald Trump's the leader right now with respect to the primary. And Bernie, you know, whether you like him or not, he deserves a lot of credit for really coming out of nowhere. And to me, when I hear some of these political pundits talk about, well, they're surprised that, you know, how good these guys are doing, to me, it really wasn't a surprise. Not that I knew that Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders were going to run for president. I had no idea. But what I did know was that that undercurrent of tension, if you will, within the electorate still existed and that it was going to manifest itself somehow. And that's why I talked about third parties. And again, interestingly enough, they're prominently featured in my new novel. And I can kind of see them taking shape right now.
Yeah, well, that is interesting. Old Bernie there. People are feeling the burn, as they say. Not to get too much into the political end of things here, because politics, I always believe, are driven by the economics. In the end, might not be for a while, might take a lot of pain and blood, sweat, and tears, but eventually economics will dictate, because it's just like gravity, laws of nature. Defy them enough and you're going to pay a price, and the price is coming up. So as far as terrorism goes, we're seeing a wave of it in Europe. Obviously, we're seeing this immigration crisis. And where do you see that heading?
Well, and with respect to my book, one of the things that that is a kind of a current, or excuse me, an undercurrent in the book, and that kind of generates that popular concern, is terror. And it manifests in a couple of different ways. There's the kinetic terror that, you know, that we would associate with events like 9/11, which, you know, is physical destruction. But there's also a very, very significant portion of let's say the terror component of the novel that's dedicated to cyber terror, and the effects that it has not only on things like infrastructure, but things like the financial markets. There are some events that occur in the novel where terror intersects, if you will, or collides with the financial markets and causes some disturbances. And so, you know, one of the things that the main goal of terrorism is to scare, right? Mm-hmm. And so the population of the United States, again, you're in the year 2019, 2020 now, they're very scared. They're very concerned about terror and how it's affecting their day-to-day existence, how it's affecting the financial markets, et cetera. And so one of the things that happens when the population gets scared is they want some protection from that. Well, the layer of protection that's afforded to the population has to come from greater amounts of authority. And so that's another feature of the novel, is to see how the population reacts to terror events and then how they react to the government applying more and more layers of security. Well, when you apply more and more layers of security, obviously there's some freedom component that you're yielding as well. So that's another discussion that's prevalent in the book, is, you know, how does terror affect, you know, economics, and how does terror affect politics as well?
Yeah, well, sounds interesting. It sounds like something that definitely is timely. And if you can tell a good story, then you should do really well at it. Jim, your website, and tell us the book, how we get that once it's published?
Well, right now, what I'm trying to do is get it published through a platform called InkShares. That's InkShares. So if you go to InkShares.com/books/2020, so the number 2020. So InkShares.com/books/2020, you'll see a preview. There's part of a chapter in there. There's also an author discussion, if you were, about a 5-6 minute video where you kind of learn a little bit more detail about the book, and it allows readers to pre-order. And if I get a certain number of pre-orders through this platform, then I'm able to publish through them. So that's obviously goal number one. If that goal is not satisfied, the novel's already done, and so it's still going to get published. It'll be something on my own. So what I would encourage readers to do is go to the site, you know, take a look around. If they'd like to pre-order, obviously that'd be very nice. Once they pre-order, their name will be on a listing, and then if for some reason it doesn't go forward through InkShares, then I can get in contact with them later and say, hey, you know, go to Amazon or CreateSpace and you can order it from there.
Okay, great. Well, we wish you the best of luck. You find a link to Jim's site on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Go take a look at it. Don't forget our event, April 21st, in just 2 days, coming up in Fort Lauderdale. You can either join us live at the event, or we'll be simulcasting it on a webinar, a webcast, as you will. And Andy Hoffman, Andy Schechtman, the guys from Miles Franklin will be there taking questions until we close. Free dinner included. You don't want to miss it. Got a few seats left at the live event, but we can accommodate virtually unlimited numbers of you on the webinar. So just go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com, menu on top of the screen, Florida event, click that, and it will take you to the registration link. Hey, Jim, thank you so much for coming on, and best wishes on the upcoming book.
Thanks a lot, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Your neighbor Jim figured out that with Metro PCS, he gets unlimited data, talk, and text for $30, period.
Babe, that color looks awesome.
Just like he figured out that shopping with his wife will buy him a night with his buddies. That's guys night out figured out. You too figure it out. Switch to Metro PCS on the fast 4G LTE T-Mobile network for only $30, period. Metro PCS, wireless, figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. Plan includes first 1 gigabyte of data at up to 4G LTE speeds. See store or metropcs.com for details and terms and conditions and data management info.